You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The long-held image of a teacher standing in front of a classroom holding a piece of chalk or a dry erase marker has to die, so says our next guest. Matinga Ragatz was Michigan Teacher of the Year in 2011. Earlier this year, she was inducted into the National Teachers Hall of Fame. And these days, as a consultant, she works to help teachers innovate and rethink their roles in the classroom. At our recent live show in East Lansing, I spoke with Matinga Ragatz, and here's our conversation.
So, Matinga, let's jump right in. Why do you think today's teaching style is archaic and needs to be overhauled?
Well, it's pretty obvious, you know, and I'm so glad that we have the mayor speaking at the beginning of the hour because he talked about economic development. And schools are the seeds of economic development. And if teachers were to think about their job as economic development, and if the community were to think of schools as the place where economic development starts, you know that chalk and or whiteboard and marker is not the place to be. Also, I think it's very important for us to remember that the traditional methods are very much of a follow the leader type of format. And the world that we're preparing the students to go into is definitely a self-directed world. So if we're indeed in the business of preparing students for their future, it's so important that we get out of the way and teach them from the very first minute that they're in our care to be very, very much self-directed. And I know that the methods that we worked for, or the traditional methods worked for the traditional environment, the traditional world. But today, in the internet-connected world, in the globally connected world, it's very important that kids have self-direction, kids know how to self-pace, and kids know how to think independently and think specifically on where they're getting their information, what their information looks like, what is the background behind the information. So now this sit and get method that we have in the traditional method is just no longer good enough for the 21st century learner.
So instead of the sit, I love that sit and get because we all went through that.
Yeah.
You sat and you took notes and you got. So instead of the whiteboard or the chalkboard, mm-hmm. Nobody clapping erasers after school, I guess, what would you have instead?
Well, the first thing, the one question that students always ask is why. In education, we rarely ask why. So if those of you who are familiar with the Simon Sinek model of, you know, start with the why, then the how, and then the what. In education, we always start with the what. What teacher? What book? What curriculum? But we never answer the one question that the kids always want to know. It's why? Why do I have to know this? Why are you here? Why am I here at 8 o'clock in the morning? But, you know, so we always start with the why. Today, the kids are, they're used to an on-demand world. They're used to a world where when they click, they get their why. They get their answer to why. I can tell you this much. What's happening right now is kids dumb down the minute they enter the threshold of our classrooms. It's the only place where they get the idea to put their hands up. Because I know that my kids play video games, and I've never, like never, had my kids ask me, Mom, how do you make Mario jump up and down? You don't. And those of you who have kids, you know you've never had that question. But the minute you walk into the classroom, there's a habitual way of, oh, I don't have to think. Somebody's have to do the thinking for me. I just have to follow and do exactly as the teacher tells me.
So you can just see them dialing it right
100%. There. And today we keep talking about the kids being, they're not engaged. They're always looking at their screens and they're not always playing video games. And that's the one place in the world where nobody tells them what to do.
Interesting. And you say that you have seen too many kids leave school and then have a hard time figuring out what to do and where to land. Why do you think this is?
Again, because we don't train them in that piece. So if you start with the question of why, the first thing that thinks of is these skills. So nowadays, kids can pretty much Google everything that the teacher says to them. So it's very important that we start talking about the skills. Economic development requires skills. And for a student to go 12 years of education, then add college, then add grad school, for them to leave the educational system and then be told, sorry, you don't have enough experience, that's like a suable offense. You know, it angers me. So students, when they leave our care, should have 12 years of experience, and they should have this amazing resume of things they've done, people they've talked to, things they've done with their hands. And I'm so glad that you had creative people on their show, people who do things purposefully. Kids are just like short, but they're just people. They want a life of purpose. They want to live everywhere, every day with purpose. And the saddest thing that kids do today, the saddest things that kids do today is when you tell them, hey, how was school? It was school. What a waste. What a waste of 12 years.
And so you talk about real world and project-based mm-hmm. learning experiences that could be wonderful for both students and teachers, such as?
For instance, and you imagine this. You've seen it. We have, for example, high schools with kids 14 and up. They're at their strongest physically. They can see better than us. They can think quicker than us. But what are they doing? But drooling in the back of somebody's classroom. Instead, why aren't they participating in the economic development of their communities? Why aren't they participating in building things in their communities? Kids who build things in their communities will not participate in the destruction of that community. So it's very, very important that we take our curriculums, which are great, and we look at the curriculum not as a checklist, but as a roadmap. Yep, this is where we go. But if something happens in the community or something happens in the world, we really need to turn the students' head towards that and help them appreciate that and also be discerning consumers of media, discerning consumers of the curriculum that they're learning as well.
And what about for the teachers, if they can be in part of that and put down the piece of chalk?
100%. And as teachers, we need to not remove our community member hat when we walk into the classroom. We are all passionate. We go into the profession because we want to make a difference. But then we get caught up in policy. We get caught up in rules. I don't know if you've listened to the radio lately, Cynthia. But there's this thing that we are doing as a community. Every time there's something happens in the world, teachers ought to do this. Well, teachers have to do that, and teachers have to do this. How about if you just have the kids do it, right? Hmm. Have them role play, theater, but have them practice how it is to live in the world, to live in the 21st century for real, as opposed to having them just sit in school. So teachers, don't take your community member hat, your passions away from schools. Instead, take them into the schools and infect your students with it.
Matinga, what do you think is lost when there's so much focus on test scores and evaluations for the student and for the teacher?
Time. Every minute a student is in my classroom is a minute I can now take back. So if I spend 55 minutes wasting his time preparing for a test that will never matter, and because the test, we all know, we can all agree that the test how well you test. And we're competing against countries that teach kids how to take tests. So now if we want to play that game, we can. But, as an immigrant my own self, I know that this is a country of innovation. We are here to innovate, not to copy. So if we are, concentrating so much on the test, we're wasting time, we're wasting valuable resources, and we're wasting that moment that every one of our students need from us.
So without that, mm-hmm. how do you measure whether a teacher is effective and whether a student is learning?
Oh, yeah. I think there should be tests, but we should use the tests more responsibly. So tests are not to beat the Canadians or beat the Chinese. I mean, it's like, that's use a stick for that. But, But tests should be, just use it as it was meant, as a measure, as to, like, it's almost like a formative measurement. This is where we should be rather than as a punitive instrument.
All right. Now, I imagine that as you preach this gospel that you're very passionate about, you're going to encounter people that say, hey, I went through school cracking a textbook and taking notes from the teacher standing at the front of the classroom, and I turned out all right, and I'm having a good life. And by the way, if these kids go on to college or graduate school, there will be somebody up at the front of the classroom, doing a lecture. And what if they're not ready for that because of the self-directed learning techniques? What do you say to that?
Well, a self-directed learner is a Renaissance person. So they can sit through a lecture and ask the tough questions rather than drooling. A self-directed learner has the experience to and the life experience to actually internalize the material and internalize the content and make the connections rather than just take the notes and spit it out.
In your vision, what might a school, if you could wave a magic wand and have the kind of school and the kind of classrooms and instruction that you're preaching about, what would it look like?
First of all, I would eliminate the bell. Eliminate the school bell. Eliminate also this.
How would you get to second period history?
Especially, you know, you're 14 years old. In other countries, you're the head of a family. And here in our Western countries, we just feel like, oh, no, they're too deaf. They can't even cross the road, that kind of thing, right? And so I'd eliminate the bell, and the kids would have a specific, like a long-term research that they're doing, almost like a mini dissertation that they're working through with 4 years. And they come in, and instead of siloing every subject, they have these multiple subjects that they can relate to based on their passion. So you come to class, you get your cup of coffee, you hang out at the cafeteria, and then you look at the board, and you're like, oh, you know what? This is a thesis statement workshop that I'd like to attend because my thesis statement stinks. Okay, well, see you guys. I'm going to go to thesis statement workshop that the teacher is putting out. And I'll look at the board going, yeah, I should look at my conclusion as well. And go there and do it because you need it right now. Not someday you will need to know this in an age of on-demand. Kids today don't understand the someday where you can get it today.
What do you think is holding Michigan schools back from rethinking and experimenting with the teacher's role in the classroom?
Ah, too many cooks in the kitchen. I think they should just let teachers teach. I would love to bring the teach back into teacher. I feel that teachers are professionals. They understand. They're experts in how students learn. Yet we always have outside hands telling us, no, they learn by following this particular guideline. No, and it's always a person who wrote a book or somebody who got elected that tells us how to run the classrooms. Just because we all went to school doesn't make us experts in education. Just because we were all teenagers doesn't mean we are experts on being teenagers in the 21st century. No, we don't. Because the distractions and the pressures that they have is completely different. So we have to completely change. We have to change learning like a store changes fashion. So every year, a new set of learning ideas need to be in process so that every group of students finds fresh ideas rather than the stale, old chalk and board idea that we've been selling.
What do you love about your work now teaching teachers?
Oh, my gosh. Teaching teachers is the hardest job I've ever done, but it's all because teachers, we are like that. But it's also the most rewarding. Rewarding because I'm reminded every day that I am observing a teacher or I am talking to a group of teachers how difficult the work is and how committed the Michigan teachers are. And I'm also reminded every single time I'm there of just the progress that we're making as a profession as well. I feel like if let loose, we as teachers would really have an impact on the economic development of our state. If let loose, because, you know, we command 30 kids, right? And so we when you're teaching teachers, of course, you're not only impacting 30 kids in their classroom, you're now impacting hundreds of classrooms and hundreds of kids as well. So it's just a dream job.
And what do you think when you see teachers flee the profession?
Ooh, there is a national crisis. We are really in trouble. Even teachers don't want their kids to be teachers. However, I feel that if teachers can stand up and stand on the side of the students and work to innovate our profession, we will bring the kids back. So it's very, very disheartening that people don't want to teach, but it's very, very understandable. The profession itself has not evolved, so we are still being taught. We're still being taught the same way. Educational institutions are still working the same way. We are still being paid the same way. The expectations are the same, even though our clientele is completely different. We got kids in the back of the class. We're taking quantum physics from a MOOC in Stanford. There's kids who are who have businesses and they're making more money than their teachers. Yet we just kind of sit here and go through this theater of, okay, turn to page 8 and I'm going to read to you. So imagine that.
Talk to the young person who is kind of at that crossroads and trying to decide where their life's direction will be. What is your sales pitch for being a teacher?
Wow, if you want a sexy job, if you want a job where not one single day will be the same, and if you want a job that you can job craft, and this is the best part of teaching. So if you choose the marker and the whiteboard and your lesson plans, it's purely your own option. But if you choose to, it's almost like the Miss Frizzle bus, right? Remember Miss Frizzle? It's the Miss Frizzle bus. Because in this job, and I know because I've done it, you can travel. You can meet interesting people. Nobody ever says no when you ask them to come to your classroom, especially if it's digitally, to come to your classroom and talk to your kids. Nobody ever says no. So mayors, governors, everybody comes into your classroom. It's really an interesting job. But it's also an option. So if you want to go the straight and narrow, go ahead. But if you want to be someone who is going to touch young lives and really change lives, and tell you what, as a teacher, right, you want to be that person where that the students are going to look up and go, wow, I want to be that person. I want to be that person because look at how cool their life is, rather than, you know, when they get all shocked because they see you in the grocery store. What are you doing here?
You have a real life.
Like, you don't live in the classroom? I thought you lived in my cubby.
Listen, I had nuns. It was even weirder if you
said right. I had nuns too. Oh, we have to share stories.
We will share war stories.
Oh my gosh.
I can completely understand. I bet kids were falling over themselves to take your classes at Grand Ledge High School.
We had a lot of fun. Yeah, it was just a lot of fun.
And it's very clear why you were Michigan Teacher of the Year in 2011 and in the National Teachers Hall of Fame. Matengo Ragatz, what a pleasure.
I know we'll be talking again. Cynthia, I adore you. I'm ready to have a love fest right now. I just adore you. You know, and I'm just surrounded by all these Michigan radio people. Really, love fest.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
No, thank you very much.
Wonderful.
Thank you.